We all know that when we collaborate as professionals, the end outcome is going to be better. And that doesn't naturally mean we always collaborate because of a variety of things, the amount of demands that we have, and certainly, you know, teaching is a demanding profession. So I feel like it's our responsibility to create the systems and the structures to make that easier so that collaboration becomes a natural part of what we do.
Hey, it's Zach, and I need to interrupt a moment because we are doing an incredibly exciting thing that requires your participation. Once a month, we will be featuring a teacher challenge on an episode and attempting to tackle the challenge between the four of us on the show. We want to hear from you about the challenges you might be facing in your classroom this year. Every teacher featured will receive a gift card, and at the end of the school year, we will draw a name randomly from all those who shared to award a $100 gift card. To share a challenge and earn a chance to win, simply call our number and leave a message. That number is 616-965-6606. Again, 616-965-6606.
This is Transforming Learning.
Welcome back to Transforming Learning. This is episode 57. I'm Zach. I'm here with Pete, and we're going to talk about, Pete, your interview with Luke Wilcox. Pretty significant individual in Michigan education recently. So, Pete, before we jump into anything, tell us about Luke.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. So, Luke, at the beginning of our interview, will tell you some of his credentials. And so, please stay tuned and hear those. But, you know, I've known Luke now for over 10 years. I taught with him in Kentwood Public Schools. We were both in the math department at East Kentwood High School. And Luke has not only become a friend of mine, but somebody that I consider to be a leading educator in the state. He thinks very deeply about education. He has a passion for working with the underserved youth. He has a passion for connecting people. And I think that's all going to come through as you listen to today's interview.
And I would just affirm that as well, both in hearing your conversation with Luke, but also my own very brief exposures to Luke and meeting him occasionally and still being able to experience that and see that impression. Definitely. So in today's episode, you're going to hear Pete and Luke talk a little bit about his background and experiences. You're also going to hear Luke articulate a couple of different projects that involve teacher collaboration, which are really compelling and definitely interesting in their potential growth as well. So stay tuned for Luke and Pete.
I'm here with Luke Wilcox. Luke, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Pete.
So, Luke, I would like to talk to you about a couple of the leadership programs that you helped create, Rising Teacher Leaders that you started at Kentwood Public Schools, and also the Mastermind Group that has grown into a West Michigan experience for lots of educators. But let's start with some of your background. Love to hear some of your experiences that kind of created the Luke Wilcox you are today. So what are some of those formative things, some of the thinking that you've done in the past few years that have kind of led to where you are right now?
Yeah, well, if we were to go way back to the beginning of sort of the startings of my career in education, in high school I was good at math and science, and so everyone told me that I should become an engineer. And I started there and I tried that, but while I was at school at the University of Michigan, I started tutoring students in geometry, discovered that that is like my passion and that's what I wanted to do in life, switched into the School of Education, and then here I am 17 years later, where I have now spent my whole teaching career at East Kentwood High School in Kentwood, Michigan. In 2013, I was awarded the Presidential Award, which gave me the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. to meet President Obama, as well as to meet some of the best math and science teachers around the country. And then in 2017, I was named the Michigan Teacher of the Year, which also provided me the opportunity to meet the other state teachers of the year from around the country, and just a whole bunch of networking and learning experiences over the last year.
Luke, I know you're an interesting person, just not only just an interesting educator, but an interesting person. And I'd love for you to give a little insight for our listeners into some of the other projects you've worked on that aren't really directly tied to school and being a teacher.
Yeah, I guess a couple of the big things that I've done over the years that have attracted some attention from students and other teachers is I'm a big-time car nerd, and I just happen to love old Hondas. That's like my thing. And so I had this Honda Civic wagon from the early 90s, all-wheel drive. We had turbocharged it, and my buddies and I decided that we were going to make a movie about it. Well, an internet movie, so we're talking like 5 minutes here. And so we created a series called Wagon Attack. There's Wagon Attack 1, 2, and 3. And Wagon Attack 2 went viral on the internet. It has over 500,000 views. Wagon Attack 3, we actually shipped the Civic to Iceland. And we shot a movie, well, a short movie in Iceland for Wagon Attack 3. And my students just have a real fun time with that, that whole thing.
And I'll just say, I still own my Wagon Attack 2 t-shirt. And remember seeing the premiere, I think it was the premiere at the Wealthy Street Theater here in Grand Rapids. So yeah, I can attest to great film, loved it. Nothing to do with education, but really, really cool, really neat stuff.
Yeah, so one of the other things too is the last couple of years, my brother and I created this event called the Chop Top Challenge, where teams sign up for this road rally, and the only requirement is that they bring a vehicle where the roof and the windshield has been cut off. And we drive from Chicago to a destination city, and you collect points along the way for various challenges. And so this past year, we did Chicago to New Orleans, and a series of challenges along the way, and it's just been a blast. We've had teams show up with a Chop Top limousine, we had a Chop Top van, and you can follow the whole story on Instagram, or if you just go to choptopchallenge.com, you can check it out.
Luke, you've told me the story of meeting Darren Starnes, and I'd wonder if you'd be willing to share that story here on the podcast.
Yeah, so Darren Starnes is like my teacher hero. He is an AP Statistics teacher. He is also the author of the AP Statistics textbook that I use. And honestly, that textbook is the thing that really taught me everything that I know about AP Statistics. And so I've always looked up to Darren, and he's like who I want to become as a statistics teacher. Well, I had the opportunity to meet him back in 2012 at the National Math Teacher Conference in Denver, as he was one of the presenters. So I went to his session, and of course he was amazing, an incredible teacher. And I come to find out that he is still a high school teacher, even though he's a very successful author and speaker. And the fact that he is still teaching high school kids to me is just incredible, and just puts him at like just a really high level in my mind as far as being a leader in statistics education. And I got a chance to talk to him. I had him sign my AP Statistics textbook, and I was telling him a little bit about my program, the AP Stats program. And, I said I had my best year last year in the AP exam. And he said, well, what kind of a school are you teaching at? Or no, he said, those scores, can you tell me what the scores were? And I said, well, I had 72 students take the AP exam, and all 72 students passed, and 48 of them scored a 5, which is the highest score that you can get on the AP exam.
Wait, add to how many students even took the class?
Yeah, it was all 72 students that took the class. And so Darren looked at me sort of bewildered, and he said, well, those scores are better than the scores at my school. What kind of a school is it that you're teaching at? Now, Darren's perspective is from the school that he teaches at. It's Lawrenceville Prep, which is a private prep school in New Jersey. It's the most expensive private high school in the country, $60,000 a year.
Wow.
Class sizes of about 8 to 12. And so he said, well, those scores at Kentwood are better than the scores at Lawrenceville. What kind of a school is that? I was like, well, it's a large public school in Michigan. We're the number one most diverse school in the state. We're about 60% free and reduced lunch. And Darren's mind was blown, and he was just amazed at how, you know, East Kentwood High School could produce those results. And so actually several months later, Darren came to visit my school for a couple of days, which was like literally the highlight of my teaching career. I have like my teacher hero who I want to become is coming to my community to see what it is that we're doing. And so I like to call that the highlight of my teaching career.
Yeah, amazing story. I love that story. Now, was it in collaboration with Darren that you also got an opportunity to become a published author as well?
Yeah, so since this experience, Darren has asked me to become a part of his team, his textbook team, and there are two textbooks that I have worked on over the last 4 or 5 years. There's an introductory statistics textbook called Statistics and Probability with Applications, where I got the chance to write all of the solutions for the exercises that are in the book. And then more recently, he has an AP statistics book, the one that I talked about, the one that taught me everything that I know. He asked me to do the teacher's edition for that book. It's called the Practice of Statistics. And we actually just finished that project up, and the book just came out in April. So definitely that whole like experience has created some big, big opportunities.
So what opportunities has that provided to you? Could you talk a little bit about some of the experiences you've been able to have through that work with statistics?
Yeah, definitely. So I do the AP reading every summer. And so, you know, for 7 days every summer, we sit and grade AP exams for 8 hours a day. And I also do AP statistics trainings around the country. We do 4-day workshops, and I usually do several of those over the summer, as well as some other 1 and 2 day trainings. And so all of those opportunities have really come up in the last couple of years. And I just love the opportunity to work with AP Stats teachers, especially new AP Stats teachers, because I was there. I know how tough that first year can be. And it's my goal as like a workshop facilitator to really put them in a position where they're going to be successful in that first year and hopefully improve their experience as a teacher, but also to improve the experience of the students that are in their classrooms.
Yeah. Hey, before we go any further, could you tell our listeners where they can find some of your work online if they're interested in exploring that and reaching out to you? I know you have a website.
Yeah, definitely. So my colleague Lindsay Gallis and I, a couple of years ago, created a website called The Stats Medic. So it's www.thestatsmedic.com, in the hopes of helping math teachers to become better equipped to teach statistics. So there we provide resources and lesson plans and activities that teachers can use in their classrooms if they're teaching statistics. And there are specific lessons aligned with both of those textbooks that I had mentioned previously.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. And I feel fortunate. I've been able to sit in on a short snippet kind of training of yours with stats teachers. And I'd love for you to share just very quickly about what's the philosophy behind that? So I go to the Stats Medic and I'm looking for resources. I know you have a particular philosophy with how you teach statistics that I think would be worth sharing right now.
Yeah, so definitely the mantra of the site and of our teaching in general, both Lindsay and I, is experience first, formalize later. So what we try to do is we try to give students an experience where they are doing the thinking and the reasoning to discover a new concept, but without any of the messy formulas and definitions. They're just doing the thinking. And so each activity starts with each lesson starts with an activity where students work in pairs or in groups of four to sort of work their way through something. And then after they've had the opportunity to go through that experience, as teachers, we then facilitate a debriefing of the activity where we formalize the learning. And that's where we would provide formulas and definitions, sort of the more traditional things that you would think about. But I think it's just so important for students to have that engagement with the thinking and the reasoning first before we get all complicated with the formulas and the definitions.
So that might sound backward to some folks. The traditional model may in fact be, hey, let's start with the nuts and bolts, the definitions, the vocabulary, and then we'll apply it. This idea of, you know, foundational learning and then moving toward application. You talked about engagement being one of the positives or the benefits of doing it the way that you're advocating for. Talk about some of the other benefits that you see with your students. Now, granted, you just talked about some of the scores you've gotten, so of course that's one of them, but what are some of the other benefits?
Well, I think that the other model, which is to give them the content first and then have them do an application, the thing that's missing there is the purpose. The purpose for the content that we're learning. Why? So, you know, when a teacher comes in and starts the lesson by giving all the formulas and the definitions, you're not really uncovering the why do we need this. And when you flip that and you give the students the experience first, they're going to run into the point where they understand the reason why we need this new statistical concept or this new formula. And I really think that leads to a better global understanding of things and long-term retention. And definitely that long-term retention, students are always able to tie the content and the concepts back to an experience that they had. And if you think about in your own lifetime, some of the best learning that you've probably had in your life is tied to some sort of an experience.
It's really about the same types of outcomes that all of us are going for. We're looking for retention. We're looking for the ability to apply. But what you're saying is experiencing it first helps ingrain that retention from the beginning. I can look back and say, oh, yeah, I remember now why that definition works or why that vocabulary is important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think of the experience as being like a mental landmark for students. So, you know, later in the course, you know, it's a month later, I could say, hey, remember that activity we did about sampling distributions of proportions? And they'd go, you know, I have no idea what you're talking about. But if I say, hey, do you remember the Reese's Pieces activity? Well, then all of a sudden, they definitely remember what the activity was about. And so I consider those mental landmarks, and attached to those mental landmarks are these statistical concepts and thinking and reasoning. And it's just much easier to recall that later when you have that mental landmark to go back to.
So rising teacher leaders, I'd love to, before we delve into what it is and some of the outcomes, I'd love for you to talk about, Luke, what was going on when you started? You started this, what, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So what was going on in, you know, contextualize it for us a little bit. What's going on in your environment, in your mind that you thought, hey, I need to start something. I need to do something different.
Well, about 4 or 5 years ago at East Kentwood High School, I got the opportunity to be in this hybrid position where I was teaching part of the day, but also being a teacher coach for part of the day, which gave me a real opportunity to lead and to have bigger impact on the school outside of my own classroom, which I just loved. I loved the idea of having impact on other teachers and other students besides my own. And I care deeply about East Kentwood High School. I've spent my whole career there. I care about the community. And so this hybrid position really gave me an opportunity to think about what can we do to have the biggest impact and make the biggest change within the school. And so my colleague Mike Trawick, who's an English teacher, and I, we just started brainstorming about what is it that we can do at this school to have the biggest impact. And you know, leadership was important to both of us, but neither of us were interested in becoming administrators. We wanted to lead from the classroom, to lead as teachers. And after a lot of brainstorming and a lot of discussion, we felt like we could have the biggest impact if we were recruiting the best teachers to come to East Kentwood High School, and then we were properly supporting them in their growth, especially in the first couple of years. And we felt like if we did this consistently for many, many years, that we could really transform our staff as a whole. And you know, having a positive culture within our staff is very important to us, and important to any successful organization, is that you have that positive solution-seeking culture built into the whole organization. And we felt like through a program of supporting new teachers year after year after year, we could really instill that positive culture within the staff. And so we do have a traditional mentorship program for all of our new teachers as required by the state of Michigan. So every new teacher in our building is assigned a mentor and has a certain number of meetings with that mentor. And I still think that that's hugely valuable, but we just didn't think that that was enough for a first year teacher. And so we created this program called the Rising Teacher Leaders. And for the first year, we actually took all of the teachers at East Kentwood High School that were within their first 3 years of arriving at East Kentwood High School. And we had a cohort of about 12 teachers that first year. And really the goal was to try and best support those teachers and to help those teachers grow. And then after that first year, it just became an annual thing. So we are a large school and we hire a fair amount of new teachers every summer, usually 8 to 12 teachers every summer. And that just becomes the next cohort. And so actually this summer, we're gonna hire another 8 or 10 teachers, and they will become our fourth cohort of rising teacher leaders, which will now put our group at about 50 teachers total.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of things I find fascinating about this, but I just want to kind of flag one of them. In my position, I work with K-12, and something I've noticed, and I think I can say this as a former high school teacher myself, is high school teachers tend to have a higher degree of independence. So I find elementary and even middle school teachers far more collaborative just by nature, just kind of organically. High school teachers, if I have an issue, I kind of want to shut my door, figure it out by myself, is the general feeling I get. And what you're saying is you've got, because I'm assuming this is just high school teachers right now?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So you're saying you've got close to 50 high school teachers that are going to volunteer their time. This isn't part of their school day. They don't get paid. And they're coming together to collaborate to just improve their practice.
We all know that when we collaborate as professionals, the end outcome is going to be better. And that doesn't naturally mean we always collaborate because of a variety of things, the amount of demands that we have, and certainly, you know, teaching is a demanding profession. So I feel like it's our responsibility to create the systems and the structures to make that easier so that collaboration becomes a natural part of what we do. But in addition to that, the teachers really need to see the value in what they're getting out of this collaboration. Otherwise, they're not going to do it. You know, like you said, this is a completely voluntary program. And so to get teachers involved in this, we've had to make sure that what we're doing provides value for them.
That's amazing. So let's get into the weeds a little bit here. So what percentage of the staff do you think is now kind of involved in this program?
Well, at 912 now in Kentwood, we probably have about 130 teachers. And so, you know, if we're up to 50 this year, we keep talking about this point where we become the majority. So like 50% is this like goal that we have at some point. And if we continue at this current trajectory, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, we're going to have over half of our staff that has been through this and is supported by this Rising Teacher Leader program.
And all I mean, supported by your admin team, I'm sure, but all teacher-run, teacher-led, for teachers by teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really been empowering that the administrators have, you know, sort of given us the autonomy to do what we want to do with that group, but at the same time also been very supportive. If I've ever had to go to admin and say, hey, I need this time because I'm trying to meet with some of these teachers from Rising Teacher Leaders, they've always been very, very supportive of that.
Luke, give us some insight into what type of things you do in RTL and what you talk about.
Yeah, so we typically have monthly meetings, and we certainly try to develop the bond within the cohorts. So the group of teachers that are hired together, there's a certain bond there, but then also to connect them to the other cohorts so that they have this like sort of web of support. And so we always plan each one of the meetings based on what's going on that particular time and also based on what we're hearing from that group of teachers. So we do a lot of one-on-one check-ins with these teachers just so that we know where they are and the things that they're thinking about so that we can organize the next meeting time to be productive for them. And so we've had meetings on a huge variety of topics, student motivation, classroom routines, how to get productive group work out of your students, how to prepare for parent-teacher conferences. I mean, it's really just based on what the teachers need at that moment. We don't have a set curriculum of things that we take the teachers through every year. I mean, there's certainly some themes that are important for new teachers. You know, classroom management is always a thing that we talk about with new teachers, but there's not a set curriculum and a set, you know, list of things that we need to go through. We really try to tailor it to each one of those groups.
So what are some outcomes from this group that you can talk to us about? So either some things you've observed or some testimonials from some folks in the group that you'd like to share.
Well, I guess one of the data points is about teacher retention. We know that teacher retention can be difficult, and that, you know, there's a huge percentage of teachers that leave within the first 3 to 5 years of being in the profession. And over the past 3 years, our group of rising teacher leaders, there is only one of our teachers that has left Kentwood in those years. And that actually was because her husband got a job elsewhere. So I feel like we're doing a good job of supporting the teachers so that they want to stay in teaching and they want to stay in Kentwood as well. I think that's a good data point. Certainly there's a lot of anecdotal evidence and things that I hear from teachers about the, you know, being thankful for the support that they got, especially in their first year, and we know that first year can be tough. But one of the other things I'm really proud about is that we're really starting to grow some leaders within the group. And that's been a goal from the beginning, is we want our teachers to be leaders in their classroom, but we also want them to be leaders within the school. And so we've had some teachers that have really emerged as leaders within the group and have now started to take over leadership roles within the group. Because certainly I can't lead the whole group. Mike Trawick and I cannot lead the whole group of 50. We need leaders within that group. And Jasmine Ramahi has been one that's really stepped up as a great leader. Janine Shamali has been an incredible leader. Alex Jarmo is an emerging leader. And so it is our goal for Mike and I to continue to grow leaders that will continue to replace us and take over parts of the group.
So Pete, while we're on the topic of outcomes, you had a chance to catch up with Jasmine Ramahi and ask her about these experiences. So let's jump over to that conversation with Jasmine.
I've gotten a lot out of a lot of our meetings. I'm working with Trawick on a leadership book study, and I know that a couple of our first year teachers were working with him on a time management workshop that met regularly. And so we have some of these different groups that meet, and we try to get into each other's classrooms as well, something called the Pineapple Chart. And it's just all about becoming better and establishing that network of support.
What do you think of Luke and kind of his leadership with that group?
Luke has been incredible. He his biggest strength is his ability to empower others. And he's not a leader that wants to micromanage you. He's not a leader that wants to be the one calling the shots per se. He's a leader that wants you to feel confident enough that you can make decisions and take on new projects and start new projects and get ideas flowing. And I think that his ability to empower is really what sets him apart and makes him such an incredible leader.
What are some next steps? What's the future hold for RTL? What can you share with our listeners about that?
Yeah, I guess for me, the one of the goals that Mike and I talk about all the time is creating a self-sustaining program. So the program continues to exist and provide value for the people that are within it, regardless of what Mike and I are doing as the leaders. And so if we can properly set up this support and this program, that it will just continue to create itself and support itself.
You know, Luke, I'm thinking about most every admin, central office, building principal that you talk to, the intention of the PD opportunities that they provide to their staff is typically the things that you're talking about with RTL. We want collaboration. We want sharing ideas across content, across grade levels, and you're doing it, and you're doing it well. Do you have any messages for administrators out there that maybe are struggling with this a little bit? What insight can you provide for them?
So I really think that this all comes down to the buy-in of the teachers within the group, and the best way to get buy-in is for things to be organically grown. So the things that we decide that we're going to talk about in our Rising Teacher Leader meetings are determined by the teachers and then led by the teachers. And sometimes, you know, when you have an administrative initiative, if it feels too much like a top-down, we're telling you here's the things that you need to improve on, you're just not going to get the buy-in from the teachers. And if you sort of flip the tables and say, hey, what is it that you would like to think about or work on, and pose that to the teachers and let the teachers decide that, you're going to get that buy-in. And then, you know, second is who's going to lead that opportunity. If teachers are leading that opportunity, then the teachers are going to be much more willing to listen. It's like a fact of professional development and education is that teachers leading teachers is often the best model, and that's certainly the way we run it, because that's who we are. We're all teachers within the group.
So what I'm hearing is, if I'm a building principal, I need to strategically and intentionally kind of get out of the way so my teachers can grow. And I'm reminded of Jody Cruz, a middle school principal in Grand Blanc Community Schools, who started just this past year passion projects for her teachers, and she devoted staff time that was, you know, in the contract, had to happen for her teachers to form projects around their passions connected to their school. And, you know, I'm seeing that as maybe a different format that an administrator could employ to get some of the same benefits that you're talking about. I mean, was the idea organically grown over there? Maybe not, but the idea of her kind of stepping back and letting teachers decide what it is they want to talk about, what it is they want to work toward, and the effects were amazing. So maybe that's an idea that some administrators could use as well.
Yeah, I definitely think the key element of that is teacher choice.
Thanks, Luke. Okay, so I've been fortunate in the past year to be able to collaborate with you on a similar type project that I'd love for you to spend some time talking about now, our mastermind group. And so same type of thing. I wonder if you could give kind of the genesis of that. So you've had at that time, you had RTL for 2 years. It was successful and growing. What was going on around in your life that made you kind of think, hey, I want to expand this or try something a little bit different?
Yeah, well, one of the big ideas within the Rising Teacher Leader Group is about leadership and about growing leaders within that group. And I started to wonder how we might be able to do something like this outside of Kentwood. How could we start to grow teacher leaders in a bigger capacity for West Michigan as a whole? And so, you know, through a lot of discussion and brainstorming with my colleague Mike Trawick, who does Rising Teacher Leader with me, we started to think about a new model that we might be able to employ. And I had this awesome opportunity this year as Michigan Teacher of the Year, where I had a little bit of a platform where I could organize people. And so I got together with you, Pete, and Tracy Hordisky, who's the previous Michigan Teacher of the Year. And I said, listen, hey, I got this idea. And at that point, I didn't even know what it was called. I don't think we had a name for it yet.
No, I think at one point it was called Rising Teachers Unite with an exclamation point.
Yeah, so. So certainly, like, there was some figuring out that happened this year.
For sure.
The basic premise of it was, if we can increase teachers' leadership skills, then we can increase their ability to influence and impact positively within their own districts. And so very important to that for us was who was going to be in the room. And we were very, very intentional about choosing the best leaders from the West Michigan area to be a part of this first cohort for what ended up being called the Mastermind. And in addition to that, we wanted the time that we spent together to be different than a traditional professional development, where there's a person standing at the front of the room and there's a PowerPoint and there's a set of talking points and curriculum that needs to be gone through. Instead, we wanted it to be much more experiential, you know, which actually goes back a little bit to my teaching philosophy in my own classroom about experience first and formalize later. And so we brainstormed about how we could create experiences for teachers, contextual experiences from their own context, that would ultimately help them grow their leadership skills. And eventually we landed on this protocol that we call the hot seat protocol. And so in groups of four, these teacher leaders from all around West Michigan, they get together in groups of four, and one of the four is in what's called the hot seat. And it is their job to come to the group with a challenge that they are currently facing in their own context. So it's very specific to them and their own context, and it could be within their classroom or within their school or within their district, very open-ended. But the protocol allows them to share out their challenge and then allows the group to ask some clarifying questions. And then each member of that group of four is given an opportunity to provide some thinking and some ideas to help that person look for solutions for their challenge. Very, very solution-focused, positive. And then at the end, there's just a wide open discussion where they get to really dig into that particular person's challenge. And so we meet monthly, once a month, And in that monthly meeting, that in that group of four, each of the four is coming with a challenge and hopefully leaving with some real tangible solutions that they might be able to bring back to their context to go after that challenge that they've brought. And then at the next meeting, there's this accountability where we go back to that challenge and we say, hey, what happened since then? Did it work? And the wonderful thing about this protocol is that it gives everybody an opportunity to contribute, to share. And it's not about one person that's in the room that's providing all of the insight. It's the group that's creating this insight. And then, of course, the other critical component of this mastermind is that after our meeting, we go to a local brewery here in Grand Rapids. We're right downtown at the Van Andel Education Institute, which provides us access to anything downtown. And we have a social hour. And you know, I've learned a ton and got a ton of insight in those social hours where we are a little bit less formal, but certainly we always end up talking about, you know, ideas in education.
So part of the experience with Mastermind, it's given us some opportunities to kind of reach out beyond this small group. So could you talk about our Teach to Lead experience just a little bit, but then also where you see Mastermind kind of moving forward?
Yeah, so it was awesome. About halfway through the year, right as we were really getting pretty established with the Mastermind and our ideas around it, we got an opportunity to go to a conference in Lansing called Teach to Lead, which is a conference where teachers get to bring a project, essentially, that they've been working on and think about what that project might look like in the future. And so there were several of us Mastermind members that went to Lansing and actually got the opportunity to present our idea to Governor Snyder and to think about what does this look like in the future. And I think we decided that this was so valuable for us and has been so positive and impactful that we really wanted to get more teachers involved in this Mastermind program. But at the same time, being very careful to make sure that we maintain the authenticity of this original cohort that we've created. And so we started to think about a model for growing this out, but not too fast. And you know, eventually we landed at the idea of creating a second cohort, using several of the members from the first cohort to be the leaders of the second cohort to really connect and to sort of share that culture forward. And in the hopes that we could really do this every year, create a new cohort. And we even started to think about how we might be able to create these cohorts in different locations around the state. And so we're going to be very intentional this second year with our new cohort to think about what are the things that the leaders of that cohort need in order to create a successful group. And hopefully in the future, with those ideas, we could bring in three people that were passionate about creating this thing in their own area. So three teachers from Detroit or three teachers from the Upper Peninsula that wanted to do the same thing. We would have a training that we could take them through that would really give them everything that they needed to go back and successfully create a similar model within their region. And so that's one of the goals that we have by the end of this year, by the end of our second cohort, is that we really have that dialed in as far as what teachers would need in order to create a similar group within their region. And who knows, you know, 5 or 6 years from now, maybe we've got 6 or 7 Mastermind cohorts that are going on all around the state.
Mm. It's exciting. It's very exciting. So, Luke, we're recording this summer 2018. We're actually downtown at the Van Andel Education Institute right now. What's next for you? Tell us a little bit about what's coming up for you.
Well, I have been out of the classroom for a full year in this position of Michigan Teacher of the Year, which has, you know, like I said, provided me huge opportunities to travel and visit schools and teachers all over the state and the country, really. But I'm very excited to be back at East Kentwood High School. I'm going to be, you know, teaching a couple of classes. I'm also going to be doing some of this teacher coaching. And so I'm very excited about that for this upcoming school year. And I'm definitely excited right now a lot about this statistics education world and the impact that I feel like I'm having on statistics teachers around the country, as well as the students that are sitting in those statistics classrooms. And so the Stats Medic is some really exciting work that Lindsay Gallis and I have been working on, and we're doing a lot of professional development now for the Stats Medic around the country. And who knows, you know, I've sort of learned over the last couple of years that it's sometimes hard to anticipate what's going to be next, because I certainly couldn't have predicted the things that have happened in my career in the last couple of years. So just in general, I'm excited about the future of what I'm going to do in education and be able to, you know, be a part of.
Well, Luke, you've been very generous with your time today. Would you mind telling folks where can they find you on Twitter, on your blog, just so they can keep up to date with Luke Wilcox?
Yeah, so I do maintain a blog on my website. It's www.lukewilcox.org. You can also follow me on Twitter at WilcoxL22. And we also have a Twitter handle for the Stats Medic. It's at the Stats Medic. Or you can find me on Facebook.
Well, Luke, keep up the great work. I know we're all going to be excited to continue to follow you and see what is in store for you next. We could probably do another 3-hour podcast just on some of the non-educational experiences you've had as well. But really appreciate your time, and thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Pete.
Well, there we have it. Another great conversation with a compelling educator. Pete, what were your thoughts?
Well, Zach, I'd like to highlight, I think, the similarities but important uniqueness between Rising Teacher Leaders, RTL, and Mastermind, two projects that Luke has spearheaded. You know, RTL is within really one building, within one district. And, you know, despite its size now, it really is connecting teachers that live in the same context. Mastermind, on the other hand, is connecting teachers from all sorts of different districts. And, you know, the goal is similar. It's to support teachers. It's to talk about current challenges. It's to connect great ideas. But I just want to highlight, I mean, these things can be done within one building in one district, and then across many districts. And I just think that's really neat that Luke has decided to go about it in two different ways to really achieve the same goal. Zach, what did you think?
Well, I definitely agree. And I think that also actually speaks to the nature of the idea. So Luke mentioned that teachers collaborating and teachers teaching teachers is probably the most dynamic and impactful kind of professional development or just support in general. And I would agree, personally, I would definitely agree in my own experiences, but I see it all over the place. And so to see Luke engage in that, not just in one context, but now in multiple contexts, and to see the flourishing that is happening because of that, I think it's proof of concept. And I'm really excited to see where these both go next.
And I know already there are other districts that have kind of caught on to this idea and are attempting to implement it. And so I highly encourage any listener out there that's interested in the idea and maybe starting their own group to reach out to Luke. You'll find him to be extremely supportive and thoughtful and caring of your unique circumstance. So feel free to do that.
Definitely. This is not going anywhere. If anything, it's just getting started. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed.
Thanks again for listening. If you haven't yet deduced, at CBD, we believe the best kind of professional growth comes from conversations with other professionals. So we have devoted ourselves to ensuring any educator anywhere can have that opportunity. Our virtual coaching service guarantees that. Check us out on cbdconsulting.com/elevateedu. You can share thoughts with just an email or quick text, or dive right into a conversation by phone or video chat. We look forward to hearing from you.